Hey, what's up, everybody? This is Doug Petrie, Fresh Talk Sports, coming back at you. It's been a while. It's been a minute, guys. Just wanted to give a couple quick shout-outs to, first off, my buddy Tony, call him the Owl, for the inspiration to start this a few years ago now. And then shout-out to Ryan Sykes, my buddy, for pushing me to record another podcast and get back on the wagon. So it's been a while since I've done this. So I apologize if I'm a little bit rusty, but if you want to give those two guys a follow at t.trozo, like it sounds, and at rsykes85, couple beauties. Anyways, we're going to start off today. I'm not sure how long this is going to go. Hopefully not too long, but today we're going to talk a little bit of hockey, some football, and then get into the Thursday night game and some bets for today and Sunday football, if anybody's interested in that. Okay, first off, hockey. Big Canucks fan, but I don't want to start with the Canucks. I'm going to start with the Calgary Flames. Calgary Flames, they are in a tailspin. They're in a lot of trouble right now. And a lot was made about Jonathan Huberdeau getting benched in the third period of their game against Nashville. Now, ironically, the Flames came back in the third period to win that game. Huberdeau's a minus 12 on the year, so maybe him not being on the ice was, you know, a good thing for the Flames. But a lot of people are taking Huberdeau to the woodshed for his performance so far this year, and I feel like it's a little bit unfair. I'm going to give him a little bit of, I know he's making a lot of money, but I feel like it's a little bit unfair to lay this at his feet, and I'm going to throw some stats out to you. So the Flames as a whole are a bottom 10 team in goals against and shots against. Yet on the, they're also a bottom 10 team in goals for and power play percentage. So they're giving up a lot of goals and they're not scoring very many. Sounds obvious, but that's a bad recipe for success. Now, the weird part is, so the Flames give up a lot of goals and they don't score very many goals. But they're also, they're eighth in the league in shots for. And they're also third in the league currently in penalty killing. Their penalty kills, I think, at 90%. So they do have a few positives to go on. But really, I think a lot of the cause for their poor play, sorry, Tony. Tony Trozo, he's a big Flames fan, so he probably has heard this a bunch and probably doesn't like continuing to hear it. But the Flames goaltending has been just awful. Flames carry the second worst save percentage in the league at 88.4%, which is 0.02% ahead of the San Jose Sharks. Now, San Jose is far and away the worst team in the league right now, and they've given up 10 goals a game twice. So in saying that, that doesn't help your save percentage, guys. So in saying that, that's probably the only reason why the Flames don't have the worst save percentage in the league. The other part is part of their offense, where they're not getting any offense. Their leading goal scorer, Andrew Mangiapane, he has 4 goals in 12 games, which isn't terrible. Like, it's not a bad number, like, for a team that doesn't score a lot of goals to start with. The problem is he has 4 goals in 12 games, which is leading the team, and he's also leading the team in penalty minutes. So when your top goal scorer is also spending the most time in the penalty box, it's not a good recipe. So I don't know what I haven't watched a lot of Flames games, and I don't intend to, but they have, they've got some issues to work out. Which leads me right into the other team in Alberta that also has their own set of issues to work out. The Edmonton Oilers. The Edmonton Oilers, their issues aren't new. I couldn't imagine being an Oilers fan and having poor goaltending and poor defense for the last decade. This is not a new problem that the Oilers are having right now. It's got nothing to do with McDavid and Draisaitl. Are they not performing quite as expected? Yeah, probably. But they're okay. I mean, just because McDavid's not, you know, racking up points at a record pace like he did last year doesn't mean he's playing poorly. Like, he's frustrated, of course. Everybody on the Oilers is probably frustrated. But you look at their goaltending. Again, the issues I see, they're twofold with the Oilers. It's goaltending and defense, which, again, is always. And also their coaching. So I'll start with their goaltending. So their goaltending, they have two goaltenders that, well, they suck. Let's be honest. They suck. And unfortunately, in the case of Jack Campbell, so Jack Campbell's 1-4 with 4.5 goals against average, and he's making $5 million a year, and he's in year 2 of 5. Now, unfortunately, this is exactly what the Oilers signed up for when they committed 5-5 to him. This should not surprise anybody at the numbers that Campbell is putting up. The Oilers have always given up a lot of goals. Campbell was never, despite what his record may have said for a couple of years there in Toronto, Campbell was never a top goalie. He was an average goalie on a good Toronto team. So of course you're going to win a lot of games, and nobody's going to care if you end up, you know, letting in 3 a night. The other half of it is Stuart Skinner. Stuart Skinner, I think, is only in his third year. I want to say this will be his third year in the league, but he's also 1-4 with a 3.99. So you can't lay this all on Campbell, even though, yes, you signed him to the giant contract, but that's your mistake, not his. Can't blame him for that. I'd sign in Edmonton to play goalie for 5-5 to give up 4.5 a game. Yeah, I'd do that. Who wouldn't? But clearly this goes beyond their goaltending when each of your two goalies are giving up at least 4 a game through the first 12. That is not a fluke. So hopefully they get it, for their sake, hopefully they get it figured out. The other part of it is I don't think they're very prepared. I feel bad. Their coach is probably in a lot of hot water, and he's probably not going to last much longer because, yes, the players are underperforming, whether that's underperforming to expectation or just underperforming in general, but nobody can argue the players are underperforming. But it starts with their preparation, and they don't seem prepared. They know their weaknesses. Everybody knows their weaknesses. It's defense and goaltending, and they still have the same problem. So either the personnel needs to change or the coach needs to change. And that very first game against Vancouver, when Vancouver blew him out of the water in the first period, like, that's your season opener, and you come out like, you know, you're playing practice. And that, to me, that's the start of the Oilers, just they're not prepared. They're not prepared going into games. Oh, all right. Speaking of Canucks. Canucks are my team. Love the Canucks. Could probably talk for an hour about how good the Canucks season has started, how unexpectedly good. I'll admit that, unexpectedly good. They look like a totally different team, and it's awesome. But just to throw some stats out at you, Canucks currently have the best goal differential in the league. They're plus 30 through 12 games, which is the best since the 84-85 Oilers, who went on to win the Stanley Cup. They were an okay team. It's not just one or two guys. It's not just Pettersson and Hughes. So right now the Canucks here, again, here's a few stats. Currently the Canucks are first in goals per game. And on the other side, they've given up the second fewest goals. So it's both ends of the ice. They're scoring goals and they're keeping it out of their net. A lot of that has to do with, yes, obviously Pettersson and Hughes, but also Demko. And shout out to Casey DeSmith. He was a good pickup. I really liked the pickup when they announced it. And it's coming into fruition. And it'll be nice that they can put their backup in. And it's not going to be a struggle to try and win games. So it'll probably ease the load on Demko and help him out maybe down the stretch, maybe for years to come. But anyways, it's not just two guys. Right now there's five players that average a point a game, and that's Petey, Huggy, Miller, Bess, and Hronek, ironically enough. Petey, Huggy, and Demko, they're driving the bus. They're making it happen. Pettersson, first in scoring. Quinn Hughes, 20 points and a plus 15 through 12 games. There's only one guy that's ever done that besides him. That's Bobby Orr. Bobby Orr is okay defenseman. And Thatcher Demko, he leads all goalies in the major stat categories, wins, save percentage, etc. So hopefully they can keep it going. It's been a good start. They're only 12 games in, so let's not plan the parade yet. But I was thinking about this the other day, and I was talking to a buddy of mine. And really, as long as the Canucks win, if you're looking at 10-game chunks, so they've got 70 games left, so that's 7 10-game chunks. If they win 5 out of those 10 in every chunk, they'll finish with like 99 points. So that's a playoff team right there. All right, let's switch gears. We're going to get into some football. It's Thursday, which means Thursday night football. Tonight's game is the Panthers at the Bears. So the 1-7 Panthers at the 2-7 Bears. This is probably not going to be a barn burner. This might be a snoozer. It's either going to go one of two ways. It's going to be a snoozer, or both teams are so god-awful defensively that it's going to be a shootout. If Bryce Young and Bagent can put it together and go down the field, it could be a shootout. It could be. It probably won't be, but it could. And that's the only thing that's really going to save this game. Ironically enough, the Bears, this is a no-lose game for the Bears. So these two teams are only better than Arizona. Arizona's 1-8. The Panthers are 1-7. Bears are 2-7. This is a no-lose game for the Bears. If the Bears beat the Panthers, then the Panthers' chance at the first overall draft pick goes up. Which you think, well, how does it help the Bears? Well, because the Bears own Carolina's first round pick, which they traded to Carolina for DJ Moore, who could arguably be the Bears' best receiver right now. If the Bears lose to Carolina, then they will then be just ahead of Arizona for getting the first overall pick with their own pick. So when you look at it that way, it's kind of a no-lose situation for the Bears, which at 2-7, they could use any good news that they can get. DJ Moore had a big game last week. He went for 230 and 3 scorers, which is kind of out of nowhere when considering his best game before that, I think, was 55 yards. So he's going to have a big game because Carolina's D, they're hurting right now. J.C. Horn is out. C.J. Henderson is out. Their secondary is depleted. And then at linebacker, they've got two rookie linebackers starting, and their other linebacker is his second year. So they are they're going to be in for a long night, I think. And then to top it off, on the other side of the ball, Bryce Young might save them at some point, but Carolina is also allowed the fifth most sacks in the NFL. So with the Bears having Montez Sweat now, Bryce Young is going to see a lot of Bears jerseys. All right, let's shift from Thursday night to Sunday football. Everybody loves Sunday football. There are three games that I would say would be the best, are going to be the best games of the week. Could surprise me, maybe not. And then I'll get into my team's game and my wife's team and their game as well, because I think those are also two really, really interesting games. First potential game of the week is the Browns at the Ravens. The Ravens are currently -6.5 favorites, but the Browns' defense is really good. This is a battle of two really good defenses. And the Browns are sneaky. The Browns are sneaky. A lot of people are counting them out in this game, but the Browns are sneaky. Baltimore hasn't really faced a good defense yet this year. They're 7-2, and on paper, this looks like they're just, especially after last week against Seattle, a lot of people, myself included, were giving Seattle maybe not going to win, but they were going to, they're going to give them a chance. And the Ravens blew them out. So it's easy to see how the Ravens could do the same thing back-to-back weeks at home, but the Browns' defense is way better than Seattle. Way better than Seattle. So Browns are probably going to spy Lamar Jackson a lot. Whether that's going to totally shut them down, I don't know. Lamar Jackson's having an unbelievable year. But it's going to be a good game. It's going to be a really hard game. The other two games I think are going to be maybe game of the week are the Saints and the Vikes. Saints at Minnesota. You never know what you're going to get with the Saints. They've got pretty decent defense, but they're also a way better team at home than they are on the road. That being said, the Vikings are coming off the high of last week, and Joshua Dobbs. Joshua Dobbs, have a game, sir. And it looks like Justin Jefferson might be coming back. So I think that's going to be a fun one. And then also the Niners and Jags. Two strong teams. That's going to be a good one. The Niners are -3 in that game. But the Niners have lost three in a row. I feel like that might end. The other two games, so my team, for those of you that don't know, my team is the Chargers. There's myself and eight other Charger fans out in the universe. So shout out to those other eight. But the Lions and Chargers. Chargers are at home. Chargers had a really good effort on the road against the Jets. I was honestly worried about that game. Not so much because of the Jets' offense and Zach Wilson, but because of the Jets' defense. But it was really the Chargers' defense that stole that show. But the Lions are a fun team to watch. I like watching the Lions. And, of course, I like the Chargers and Eckler and Herbie. This is going to be a fun game. The Lions are -3. It's a little surprising, I think, but it's probably going to be a shootout. I see that one being a shootout. And then the other game that I'd touch on is my wife's team. My wife's a Steelers fan. And so it's the Packers at the Steelers. And the Steelers are probably Steelers are 5-3, and they're probably the worst version of a 5-3 team you can think of. They are 5-3, and unfortunately, I watch a lot of Steelers games, so I've got a pretty good understanding of how they roll or don't roll under Matt Canada. The Steelers are 5-3, and they have the second worst pass defense in the league. Let that sink in. That is unbelievable. But the Steelers are such a weird team because they win a lot of games they probably shouldn't. Like they sneak out wins against good teams that are better than them. And then they lose games they should win. So right now the Steelers are -3 point favorites, and we'll get to this in a little bit, but I would not feel good about this. I don't feel good about Kenny Pickett. He's really average. It'll be interesting to see. And it honestly, I feel like the best thing that happened for the Steelers was when Diontae Johnson got hurt. Because when Diontae Johnson's in the game, he's the only guy that gets fed. And so it makes their already one-dimensional offense really, really one-dimensional. For whatever reason, the Steelers have, I would say, maybe a top 10 backfield in the league in Najee Harris and James Warren. I'm a big fan of James Warren. Big fan. Big, big fan. He's legit. Steelers have maybe a top 10 backfield in the league, and they don't like running the ball. Matt Canada does not run the ball. They do this weird thing where they try and make their wide receivers into running backs. They'll run wide receiver sweeps for no reason. Najee Harris, he might touch the ball 10 times a game. Like it's baffling. It would be different if they had a Hall of Fame quarterback. It'd be different if they had a Josh Allen. Not to say he's a Hall of Fame quarterback, but maybe not. It'd be different if they had a Josh Allen or a Joe Burrow or a Justin Herbert. If they had a premier quarterback, then sure. Like, chuck it all day. But they don't. They have Kenny goddamn Pickett. And the Steelers are built on two things, and they always have been, and that's defense and running the ball. Jerome Bettis. And the Steelers have abandoned one of those two things completely. They do not run the ball, and I could not tell you why. Shout out to TJ Watt, though, and Alex Highsmith. They're the heart of that defense, and that run defense is good. They're really vulnerable without Minkah Fitzpatrick, and I don't know if he's playing this game or not, but yeah, the Steelers, they got issues. All right, we're going to wind down the segment here. We're going to get into some sports bets. Let's do some sports bets, folks. Here we go. We're going to start with the Thursday night game. I like this parlay. Let me just set this up here. I like this parlay at, let me get my notes here. Here we go. Here's what I like for the Thursday night game. I like the over 2.5 combined field goals. I like Adam Thielen for 4 catches. I like DJ Moore for 4 catches. I like Darnell Mooney for 25 yards receiving. I like the Bears at +3.5. And I like the under first half points, 23.5. There you go. That's got a 30% boost. 10 on that pace 78.25. So pretty good return, just about an 8-to-1 return. I don't lay a lot down because I don't have a lot to lay down. But yeah, I mean, obviously, if you want to, you know, feel free to lay more, and you're gonna make some more. Now we're gonna switch gears. We're gonna go to some NHL action for tonight. And I got a same game parlay with the Canucks and Sens. It's gonna go. It's Pettersson and Hughes focused. So we're going to go Pettersson on the over 0.5 points and over 2.5 shots. Hughes over 0.5 points and over 2.5 shots as well. Jake Sanderson over 1.5 shots, and Canucks on the money line. $5 pays $55.25 on that one. And then I've also got for tonight, let me just pull this up here. Sorry, I thought I was a little more prepared here. Just give me a second, bear with me. Actually, while I'm loading this one up, I'll throw a couple Sunday games your way. Sunday games, I'm going to go the Browns plus 6.5. I'm going to go the Packers, as we touched on earlier, the Packers plus 3. I think that's going to be a nail biter of a game. And we're going to go a same game parlay with the Jags and the Niners for anytime touchdown for CMC and Travis Etienne. And then the other NHL bet that I've got is, again, another tidy little parlay. Alex DeBrincat for the Red Wings against Montreal. Montreal starting a rookie goaltender tonight. And Wings are at home. Wings are sneaky. But anyways, yeah, so we got Alex DeBrincat over 0.5 points. The Rangers and Wild game, Artemi Panarin over 2.5 shots, and a same game parlay thrown in, the Blackhawks and Lightning over 5.5 goals, and Victor Hedman over 0.5 assists. That $5 wager pays $22.10. So again, just a nice little tidy one. Nothing too crazy. And I think I'll throw out one more. I'm gonna call this a slam. Actually, I'm gonna call this Dougie's dagger. Let's start that. Dougie's dagger for the week. It's a little three-legger on Sunday football. So we got Lamar Jackson over 25 rushing yards, Mac Jones for one interception, and CJ Stroud to throw for 250. That three leggers at plus 273. So again, nothing crazy on the odds there, but you know, a 10 spot will just about turn you into 30. So it's not too bad. All right, everybody, that's it for this session. Kept it under half an hour. Thanks for listening. And I'll see you back here, hopefully on Monday. I'd like to turn this into a twice a week kind of thing, Monday and Thursday. Monday, a recap of the weekend, and Thursday, a look ahead at some NHL and some football. And I promise maybe I'll talk a little bit more about a couple of the other sports out there. Cheers. Thanks for listening. Remember, keep your stick on the ice.